In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
Brothers and sisters, we gather here on the Sunday in which Andre Ovidio has received baptism into the church, into newness of life, into the heavenly kingdom. And in the baptismal service, we hear continually the references to dying to the old man, and being reborn again in Christ. That in dying, we live. It was just last Sunday that we spoke about the cross, this great mystery of our salvation, and how by choosing voluntarily to follow Christ and to lose our life, we actually find it. In dying, we live. It's a great mystery of our Christian faith. It's the mystery that overcomes and conquers the world. Last Sunday, we looked at the great two poles of our Christian life and our life in general, that we can become villains or we can become heroes. The villain is one who takes and steals and kills, and the hero is one who gives and protects and loves, even to the loss of his or her own life. These great two extremes. He said that we can summarize the villain with the term selfishness, and the hero with the term selflessness, or another way, self-interest and love for God and love for one's neighbor. These are the two poles of our spiritual life. And the only way to move from selfishness and self-interest to selflessness and love for God and love for one's neighbor is the way of the cross. And this is the way of suffering. This is the way of loving our enemies as the Lord commands us to do, turning the other cheek, lending even though we won't receive back, doing good even though that people do evil to us. And we spoke about this last Sunday. We said that the world operates according to a different standard. The world can't accept the cross. It's foolishness. It's a stumbling block to the Jews, as St. Paul says. But to those who are being saved, it's the wisdom and the power of God. That the cross is our way to move from death to life, from selfishness to selflessness, from self-interest to love for God and for love for one's neighbor. This is the great mystery of the cross. We spoke about how the world operates with self-interest and selfishness at its very core. Mentioned this professor at Princeton who's famous from the movie A Beautiful Mind, John Nash, how he studied the world, and he was a man of great brilliance and genius. And he saw how the world operated. And he developed a theory which he called the game theory on how people act upon their own self-interest and their own motives for their own benefit. And he said that this is really how the world operates with regard to war, certainly, with regard to politics, with regard to markets, with regard to economy, with regard to business, with regard to every facet of human life. He said it operates according to the game theory, that people are out for themselves. They want to win for themselves. And we said that this game theory that operates in the context of the world loses sight of the most important thing. It loses sight of the end of the game. What happens when the game is over? What happens to all those things that we've amassed, to all those things that we've, in our selfishness, acquired and accumulated? What happens to all of them? What happens if we gain the whole world? But in the process, we lose our soul. What does it profit us? The end game, the game is over at the cross. At the cross. Those things that we may have acquired in selfishness and self-interest, that they are lost. And the only thing that we take is our soul. And the content and the character and the disposition of our soul. Whether or not we love ourselves or whether or not we love God and our neighbor. This is the only thing that matters at the end of the game. And yet, the world forgets this. We live in a world that is under this sway, under this motivation, under this tyranny of sin, this deception, that we can find our life in temporary things that pass away. Christ delivers us from this deception, from this delusion. And he says that your life is with God and with your neighbor and in love. And this is eternal life. And that you can enter into this eternal life by the cross, by voluntarily, willingly setting aside the world, laying down even your own life in love, so that you can experience life as it was meant to be, life more abundant. Eternal life, a life of love. The world is under this sway, and I want to share with you an image, and I've shared this in the past, but some of you maybe haven't heard this. From my childhood, one of the things that I liked to do as a youngster was to swim. My family did not have a pool, but my friends, some of them had pools, and one of them had a pool that was circular, like the earth, circular. And he would invite us over, and we'd all go swimming in this pool, and one of the things that we would do is we would all go to the edge of the pool, to the perimeter of the pool, inside the pool, but to the edge, and we start swimming around. And we would create this kind of movement of the water, this kind of sway of the water. And it was wonderful. It was like a whirlpool that whirled around, and it carried us. And, you know, you could almost stop swimming, and the water would still move you. And it had this great power, this great rush, and we enjoyed it. And then it would come to an end, though, when somebody decided they were going to fight the current. They were going to go against the way of the water. They were going to do something different. And that one person would start, and they would struggle, and they maybe just slow down a little bit, the flow. They wouldn't be able to overturn it themselves. But then somebody else would jump on their team, and they would race that way too, until the whole group of friends were going the opposite way. They had turned it all around. This seemingly unstoppable force, this movement and flow of the water, they had changed. It was difficult, very difficult at first, especially for the first guy who started it, and for his friends who came and helped. It was hard, and there wasn't much progress that seemed to be made. But other people, if you will, converted to their side. And they started to make progress. And they changed everything. You know, in this world that is governed by self-interest and selfishness, there is a great flow. There is a great movement. And we all experience in our lives how difficult it is to go against this. To go against the grain. To be somebody who says no to the way of the world, but yes to the way of God. There's a struggle involved in that. And yet, we know that progress can be made. That progress can be made when we unite, when we come together. And this is the reason why Christ, having turned everything around in his own person, establishes the church, so that the church can begin to change the world, so that we could unite ourselves to Christ into his movement, from selfishness to selflessness, from death to life, so that we can begin to change everything. This is what we do in the church. How can we connect this image from my childhood, the mystery of the church, and to what we do here? Think about it. There's a pool right in the center of our church right now. It's a small pool, circular. And in it, we put Andre, Ovidio. And in it, all of us have been put. We've been reborn according to a new way, the way of Christ. And we make a circular procession around this pool, around this baptismal font. What direction does it go? What direction? Counterclockwise, right? Not the way of the world, not clockwise. Just the opposite. It reverses everything. And it creates a momentum. We go three times, right? Where else do we do this in our sacraments. In marriage. We do it in marriage, right? We do it in ordination. Where else do we do it? Think about one night that everybody is incorporated into this movement. The counterclockwise movement that we do annually.
What's Easter?
Easter, Pascha, right? The renewal of the resurrection of Christ. The reaffirmation that through death comes life. Through losing our life, we actually save it. The reaffirmation that Christ is the one who reveals this in himself and has incorporated us into it. That we are his friends. That we are his co-workers. That we are in the world to change the world. This is what the Lord does. This is what his church does. This is what happens in each and every one of our lives. This is what we bring home to our families to happen in our family church. This is what we will bring, if we have faith enough to do it, into the rest of the world. Because the world can be changed by this. The world has been changed by this. And the world will be changed by this. If we're willing to reverse everything, if we're willing to change our minds, change our hearts, change our wills, if we're willing to die with Christ so that we might live with him. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.